Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Very good morning to you. We welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'd like especially this morning to welcome people from Spartanburg on the air. That's right, Spartanburg is now being heard at 87.9 FM. Glad you've joined us here, and this is for your first show, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're a different kind of radio station. We're the ones who think a little bit differently, at least make you think a little bit differently. We think correctly, of course, and of course we think correctly. At any rate, we welcome Spartanburg to the Upstate channels. If you're driving through the Upstate of South Carolina, remember our frequency in Greenville is 97.7 FM, Spartanburg 87.9. Greer gets both. So it depends where you are, what signal's weaker or greater, depending on where you are in Greer. And over towards Piedmont and Pelzer, it's 96.5. Sometime on Monday, I'll also be checking for 87.9 over by Liberty and 6 Mile, because there will be a broadcast signal over in that area as well. So that's all good news, and we're continuing to expand our volunteer efforts here at the Tyranny Response Network. Right now, and the weather is as follows. In Greenville, Spartanburg, we have 66 degrees. Greenville downtown, 69. Anderson, 65. And Clemson, 66. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Areas of fog this morning. Highs in the lower 90s. West winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. And we have a news headline on Fox News. It says, Rita turns right away from Galveston. Changes course. Actually, Rita did not change course. It was predestined to go on this course that it's gone on, and it did so. What changed was the prognostications of the weatherman, just to make that clear. It was not going a certain way, and then to change its course, it always had this in mind. I think so, at any rate. Looks like it's a Category 4 hurricane, but it's still heading for the mainland somewhere. It looks like it's going to avoid a direct hit, bearing slightly to the east. It looks like it's going to be Beaumont and Port Arthur area that's going to get hit directly. So, at any rate, that's kind of the news update on Hurricane Rita, if you're interested. Joining me in the studio today is my good amigo, Greg Ferrier.
Si. Like,
yeah. Si, yes, exactamente. At any rate, we wanted to welcome Greg to the show this morning. This is our every couple of weeks on Fridays, remember, Christian Worldview features both Greg and I as we talk about various theological points and other things related to a more libertarian or Christian perspective, a libertarian and Christian perspective on things. I guess that'd be fair. Maybe we should say it differently.
You'd be the libertarian, I'll be the Christian, or are we both going to divide equally between the two?
Well, I was going to be the libertarian Christian. We were going to find out what you were.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you ever will, but welcome Spartanburg and all our regulars.
That's right. Anyway, well, we are very delighted to have Spartanburg up and running this morning. Some people are flipping through their dials, figuring, "What in the world is this all about?" Well, if you haven't heard talk radio until you've heard the Tyranny Response Network, and certainly not until you've heard Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and guest today, Mr. Greg Ferrier. Well, Greg, we have a number of good things to talk about today, don't we? I don't know what you have in mind or what you have in store for us. Hopefully, something good. We can begin with whatever you've got in mind.
Something that needs to be talked about. Okay, I have. Will you? Pushing this piece of paper over in my direction so that we can announce it now, or
you can do it right now.
I can do it right now. All right. Well,
just talk directly into your microphone.
Are we hearing me now?
You need to.
Us tall guys got to slump down to this low microphone here.
Yeah, just go ahead and face forward.
Right here, like
there
this.
It is.
Okay.
All right,
now are we there?
Yep.
Okay. Everything else I said was
not heard very well, often
electronic oblivion. Okay.
That's right.
All right. Well. Dr. Stephen Yates has written a book, And Dr. Yates has been on the show when I was substitute hosting a few weeks ago, and we chatted about a few things that were in there. World Views is the title of his book, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism, Stephen Yates, Ph.D. And I have an order form in my hand here, and it says here, yes, I wish to order this book, World Views, at a discount. Discounted Constitution Party price of $18.99.
Does that mean Libertarian Party members don't get it for a discount?
Well, I have a feeling that some of these you need to inquire at the World Views Project, care of Dr. Stephen Yates at 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville. And I imagine you could call us here if anybody has any questions as to how they would like to get a hold of this book. I'm just going to give that address again at 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, 29625. We went over a few things in that book when we were there, and it was quite stimulating. World Views, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism by our good friend Dr. Stephen Yates.
Yeah, that should be something almost on the website. Maybe we can email that over to Richie today and have him put that on our website. Remember, our website is tyrannyresponse.com. Tyrannyresponse.com should be a regular stop for everyone. Tyrannyresponse.net also works. If you go to that website and click on the events tab, you'll find at the very you'll find all the information of the major meetings that go on and recur regularly on a monthly basis, including the Greenville County Libertarian Party, the South Carolina Constitution Party, the Americans for Constitutional Government, the Greenville County Taxpayers, the League of the South, and Carolina Patriots. There will be also TRN Friday lunch meetings. That's today, by the way, and every Friday, 1:45 to about 4 o'clock at the China Walk Restaurant on Pelham Road, near I-85. That's all noted there for you on under the events tab. If you want to go to any of those meetings, you can find the directions and other information on the website. The calendar down below actually places it out pretty nicely for you, so you can see exactly when things are going to be happening. For instance, last night there apparently was a Greenville County Taxpayers meeting, as it was the fourth Thursday of the month, although I've been told it might have been postponed until the 29th. We haven't got official word of that, but someone from the Constitution Party, an authority there, told me that the Constitution Party meeting, which was combined with the taxpayers' meeting, was being held on the 29th, next Thursday. So it's not on our calendar that way, and if it is, it has been changed to the fifth Thursday of this month. Please do give Al Hafer a call at 242-4474 if you want to attend or double-check. That's 242-4474. That information's right on the Internet, too, if you need it, on the website. Coming up, as I said, today we have our meeting in the afternoon. If you're welcome to join us at China Walk Buffet off of Pelham Road in near I-85 in Greenville. On Monday, we have the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting, 10 o'clock in the morning at Sims Library. And we have the Libertarian Party meeting coming up on Wednesday evening at Cafe Underground. We also have the Libertarian Party in Spartanburg, which we want to begin announcing. Their meeting, unfortunately, came up right after the transmission began up in Spartanburg. Last night was their meeting, the night before last was their meeting. And so we'll be announcing regularly when future meetings of theirs come up over in Spartanburg. At any rate, that website is something you need to check out. If you're interested in helping out with the Tyranny Response Network, volunteering some time, or even providing a small donation every month, go to the tyrannyresponse.com website, scroll down to where it says donate, or go to the policyofliberty.net website and scroll down to where it says donate, and do so there. The contact tab under the Tyranny Response Network website will allow you to send an email to someone if you want to volunteer some time or energy into radio production or into computer networking or into actually being a sub-producer or a substitute producer for the Christian Worldview show. So at any rate, make it a stop, and we'll definitely want you to take a look at the tyrannyresponse.com website. Well, I that's a pretty long commercial there, Greg. What else have we got on the docket for today, this morning?
Well, I was thinking of dealing with the some words and definitions today. You're an academic, are you not? I thought that maybe that you could give us a few definitions of certain things.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. This is a good test, though. We'll find out.
Okay, we're going to test the doctor.
Yeah.
And see what he knows about these things. Are you a victim, a recovering victim of the public schools?
Absolutely. I'm not sure if I ever will recover from the public school victim. I am a victim.
Okay. Well, what have you done for therapy in all this? You know, to get rid of some of the things that have been ingrained in your head. You know, to get out of those habits and so forth.
Well, the first thing I did was to go and simply start reading thoroughly the Bible. I did this for many years, just read over and over again the New Testament, the Old Testament, and that tended to be somewhat of a tremendous filter and recourse director, and that I did in my late teens frequently, much reading there. And then I began to expand into my own reading set into different areas besides theology, including history, economics, and a little bit of political philosophy. By reading all of those things, I tremendously changed my worldview that I'd been given. I also read a bit in, you know, science and things like that. So on my own, started reading a bunch of stuff, and by reading a bunch of stuff, I filtered out all the bad stuff and replaced it with what I consider to be the truth of the matter. And all the lies then vanished, and I was able to recover my knowledge. Now, as far as being afflicted by all the other bad things that go on at the public school, well, you can never truly recover from those. There are always consequences to past sins and so forth. And, well, what do you do about that other than to repent and go on your way?
Yeah, well, the old Puritans used to call Bible reading and things like what you've done, they used to call that the antidote, that which brings about the cure. So hopefully we're all on our way. We've had the cure engendered in us, and I'd like to talk about some of those things. You know, there was an old... there was a fellow by the name of Bill Malden, wrote a book during World War II, probably for the encouragement of the folks on the home front, as well as some of the people that were serving. It was called Up Front by Bill Malden. And it was a book full of cartoons. He was a great cartoonist, and his characters were Willie and Joe, the two GIs that were slogging their way along. And I just gotten a signal that we've got to take this up by our next after our next break. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter,
and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, with special guest host today, Mr. Greg Ferrier. And so we've been talking about some interesting things. Let's jump right back to it, Greg.
All right, we were talking about that book called Upfront, and it was a bunch of cartoon sketches of soldiers in World War II and all the typical things that would happen to them, and how they would heat the water in the cold, and how they would all their little interesting experiences. Well, one of the sketches that Mr. Malden did was a picture of the two soldiers sitting by a burned out German gun emplacement, and they were standing there looking, and they were looking down the hill way out to where they had come from, and they gave some kind of an expression where he said, man, oh man, this is where they was and that's where we was. I hope that paints a little picture for you in regard to our own schooling and our own intellectual development. You know, where we was and where we are, I'd like to just discuss that a little bit, and perhaps it might give us an idea of what the contrasts are. John, you know what the word kindergarten means?
Let's see, kindergarten, children's garden.
Children's garden. What do you do in a garden?
I guess you grow weeds.
Grow weeds or grow plants or something. I have a bunch of watermelons growing in my garden now, and we nurture them along. It's the word itself, the origin of the word itself ought to make us at least suspicious. Kindergarten, meaning a garden of children, or where you actually nurture children. It's a German word, and it came from the German concepts of of that particular time when kindergarten was engendered or inoculated into our country, where the government school would nurture the little children, the little 5-year olds. Mm-hmm. And you and I were both victims of those things.
Creating little statists, as it were. And not only statists, but little pagans, little secular humanists, little Darwinists, little socialists, and little environmentalists.
Yeah, I remember an interesting thing that happened when I was in kindergarten. Of course, I was just a little kid, and I remember, you know, I don't know what they did in your day out in California, John, but we all used to sit around the piano, all the boys and girls, and the teacher would get out there, and she'd bang away on the piano, and we'd all sing. Well, when I knew the song, I'd sing along. And there were other times where the teacher would announce a song and we all sing on it. We'd all supposedly sing, and I'd hear all the other kids, the noise coming out of their mouths. And one day I remember somehow looking at the little kid next to me, and all he was doing was just kind of making noises out of his mouth. He was just going, ah, 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 ah. And that was something that happened to me over and over again over the years. It was something, a concept that it taught me, and I just had to be reminded over and over again, I ain't the only one that doesn't know what's going on here. And it was the little guy next to me, he didn't know the song, so he just mouthing the words. I didn't know it, and I thought, well, I was the only one that didn't know. Mm-hmm. And did you ever get that concept in your head as you're going along? Everything seems confused, and everybody else is looking around like, well, I know what's going on, and I understand. And then all of a sudden you begin to realize, hey, this guy next to me doesn't know any more about what's going on than I do. Mm. You can make that application to business, to politics, to church matters. You know, the pastor doesn't know what's going on, or the deacons don't know what's going on, and they're making like they do know what's going on. And I just don't want to pick on churches, but you can pick on political parties or social clubs or businesses. The boss doesn't know what's going on, and but he acts like he knows what's going on, and meantime he's taking the company on into financial ruin.
Yeah. It's interesting, and I'll interject just a little bit again at the libertarian or Austrian economic side here. Even others have recognized the same point. Ludwig von Mises, the famous Austrian economist, in his book Theory and History, points out that there are only two kinds of people in this world. You know, the old adage said, in this particular case, there are most people, the vast majority of people, who are what he calls receptive. That is, they have no ideas of their own. They don't think for themselves. They simply parrot the ideas that they hear from other people. It's sort of like if you get into a taxi cab in New York and ask what they think of the mayor of New York or who they want to be for president and why. They'll tell you a bunch of stuff because they're repeating what they've heard. There are very few people that Mises would call generators of ideas, true original thinkers, people that can come up and think for themselves. And that's why everywhere you go, whether it be in a school, a political party, or a church, you will find that most people don't know what to think for themselves. They don't know what's going on. They're lost. They're confused. And unless they have a shepherd of some sort guiding them or giving them some information what to think, they won't know what to think. Now, that may sound demeaning of human beings, but think about the folks around you. How many folks do you know that have original ideas, and how many do you know that simply parrot the idea of somebody else that's convinced them on the television?
Well, I would think in terms of the teaching of the church, where a certain you come to know the Lord in a certain denomination, and this denomination may have a glaring error or a not so glaring error. And you go along and you trust the pastor and the officers, the officials, the Sunday school teachers in the church, and you go along and you learn this error, and build your theological perspective around it. And when there's nobody to challenge it, whether
like dispensationalism,
Okay. I don't want to go out and well, maybe we ought to cause a little controversy among some of our friends who are dispensationalists.
We have some dispensationalists, I'm sure, who are on board with us. That's okay. They don't mind being challenged once in a while.
All right. Tell them to call in and challenge us. That is one thing that happened with me. I remember one of the first things, we got a new pastor. I was recently converted, and we got a new pastor in. And he came in there, and he began to teach us dispensationalism. Hmm. I mean, he was very bright and very good on sovereign grace and things of that nature, but he began to, after he got through with his sovereign grace teaching, he went right into dispensationalism. It's not just a prophetic thing, it is a hermeneutical thing, mm-hmm. in that how you, hermeneutics being how you actually interpret the scriptures. And I followed along with him until I began to see that there were a few bumps in the road there, and some other friends of mine would challenge me, and that began to help me. And there was that repartee, mm-hmm. that we do need amongst ourselves. Now, some people will just say, "No, I'm not. I don't want to get involved in a controversy." Sometimes that's rather unpleasant. You're liable to lose your friends over these things because of various mentalities that are in churches and political parties. But we all need to be challenged as to how we actually think.
Very true. You know, we do challenge people regularly here on Christian Worldview. And this is a First Amendment station. You're welcome to call in and challenge anything we have to say. Of course, Greg and I both have our own personal convictions on different things, theologically and otherwise. But you're more than welcome to call in and challenge us on any particular point. Our goal is not to simply debate among Christians various theological points of view. We know that those things exist. Our goal is to get Christians active in their world and transforming their culture. For us, it's a very important issue that Christians sit around and literally wait for the rapture or don't do anything. We're interested in Christians becoming involved. Now, some of the examples of the influence that our own broadcast has had on folks come by email and telephone call. In fact, we just got an email this morning from Todd. Todd apparently is new to Greenville, and he writes the following. He says, "Dear Dr. Coben, hello, I just moved to Greenville. What a refreshing change to hear such a candid and frank radio program. I found your show by chance, but now I find myself listening almost exclusively to it when in the car. I'm originally from Charlotte, North Carolina, and have, with few exceptions, not heard such wonderful things on the radio. I, too, am deeply concerned with the condition of our country and the erosion of our liberties. I first heard of the globalist agenda when I was 16. I am now 26. The radio from Mr. William Cooper. I purchased the book Behold a Pale Horse, and it has further opened my eyes. I am at a loss as to what action I can take to help educate the sheep in this country. What do you recommend? Again, keep up the good work." Well, I'm going to give Todd some recommendations. We have a caller on the line right now. Let's go ahead and put our caller on the line for just a second, and we'll say hello. Hello, welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Oh, good morning, Chuck. Can you hold on for just a minute? We are at a break point. Can you hold on through the break? Okay, great. We'll be right back to you. And we're going to answer Todd's question and talk about some more of what the things that Greg was talking about as soon as we get back. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, guest host with Greg Ferrier today, this 23rd day of September 2005. And we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children,
Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'd like to welcome again Spartanburg to the airwaves this morning, 87.9 up in Spartanburg, all the way down to Greer. Yes, 87.9 is being heard in Greer, almost to Gaffney, and not quite to Landrum, I don't think, but down towards, not quite to Union, but down that way. So if you're up in that area, make sure you tune in to 87.9 for the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 in the Greenville area, and down towards the Piedmont, Pelzer, that area down there. Try it, 96.5. All those frequencies working now. At any rate, the weather is as follows. Greenville, Spartanburg has 66 degrees. Downtown Greenville, 69. Anderson, 66. Clemson, 68. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Areas of fog this morning. Highs in the lower 90s. West winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Hurricane Rita has decided to change its course. At least it thinks from the weather people's perspective, it has. It's always been on the same course. It never changed at all. But it's heading now towards Beaumont, Texas, instead of Galveston, right there on the border of Louisiana and Texas, St. Charles and Beaumont. So they're going to get hit hard probably next 24 hours with the Category 4 hurricane, and then it'll proceed up. Right towards, still up the borderline. In fact, it's going to go right over where my son's in college in Longview, Texas. So we're hoping not too many tornadoes or bad weather hit his way, but certainly should be expected since a Category 4 hurricane is about to make landfall just south, a couple hundred miles. That's your weather for the day. Let me switch it back here to Greg, and he has a few things to talk about on Todd's comment and some others.
As far as did we finish his email there?
We did finish his email. Maybe I should just review it again because some people might have just joined us.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find that again here, and we can discuss that. He says, "Hello, I just moved to Greenville. What a refreshing change to hear such a candid and frank radio program. I found your show by chance, but now I find myself listening."
By chance?
That's what he said.
Okay.
But he finds himself listening almost exclusively to it when in the car. I am originally from Charlotte, North Carolina. I have, with few exceptions, not heard such wonderful things on the radio. I, too, am deeply concerned with the condition of our country and the erosion of our liberties. I first heard of the globalist agenda when I was 16, and I'm now 26. On the radio from Mr. William Cooper, I purchased his book, Behold, A Pale Horse, and it has further opened my eyes. I am at a loss as to what action I can take to help educate the sheep of this country. What do you recommend? And keep up the good work, and thank you sincerely, Todd.
Well, I recommend your book, John, Bible and Government, and I may not get the subtitle.
Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. That's what I would have said, but I thought there might have been an A and or a the in there someplace that I might have missed. I did a review of that, must have been a year ago now in the Times Examiner.
Mm-hmm.
I do know a little bit about that book. I have read it and studied it. I'm actually working on a little critique of it right now, on and off, and so I have to wait until I get it just right before I put it in your hands to see if I'm you think I might be lying or stretching the truth somehow.
Okay.
But this book is something, at the very least, if you don't agree with this book, it will instruct you on the terminology of the public policy people and the economists, and those are things that a lot of people just don't even know. Proactive policies and just a whole variety of definitions. One thing that fascinated me was the word anarchy. Most people equate anarchy with chaos. And that is not necessarily so. Now, things may be chaotic like they are down there, or they were down in New Orleans, however we say that. But that is chaos. That is not anarchy. As a matter of fact, there is a government there, and the government in many cases there engendered chaos. And this is something that you point out in your book. And the whole, I shouldn't say the whole point of the book is, but less government is the thing to be reached for. And this is something that John deals with in his book. Get that book. You can get it from by going to policyofliberty.net, and you can go to the bookstore there. Perhaps this you be listening for when John does his commercial for policyofliberty.net. But that book is something that's a good start if you want to learn something about what this show is all about.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, the Times Examiner is another great source.
Oh, the local Times Examiner, yes.
Yeah, well, you have, when we have, I have my articles in there every week. Ben Graydon's in there, Stephen Yates is in there almost every week, Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Charlie Reese, Joe Sobrin. These are great people to keep up with. I just like to get the Times Examiners into people's hands, and I would suggest, Todd, that you, you tell people to get a $25 a year subscription to this thing. It really does help to read those columns. Another book that really is has made an impact on me this year, besides just strict theological books that I might read, is Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. You want to see who our true enemy is? Simply read Bruce Short's book. That's an eye opener. And another one is The Real Lincoln, by Thomas DiLorenzo. Those two books combined with mine, boy, that's you're getting a powerful trio there that'll really shake your world. If you're into the neocon sort of line of thinking,
yeah, we're all kind of pushed into the neocon type of thing. It's language that we use. We all there's that cliche, apple pie, motherhood, and the flag. We all love that. You know, who doesn't love their mother, apple pie, and then the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag. All these things that we have said and thought and have been put upon us, those are things that we're baited. The good things are things that we're baited with. The great emancipator, like you were talking about DiLorenzo's book. We all grew up thinking of Abraham Lincoln as the great emancipator. We all at least had it read to us, if we didn't read it ourselves, the Gettysburg Address, which recently John wrote a book on nationalism and nations and the definition of nations. It's interesting, the word natal in a variety of the Romance languages has to do with birth. A nation, it comes from the same word. In one of the old hymns, it talks about, one of the old Christmas hymns, Jesus' natal star, the star that marked his birth, that which you are born into, that family or clan. It's not necessarily the political structure.
It's not at all, not in the scriptures, it's not. It never refers to the political structure, as far as I can tell. That went to the country. The word country often does, but the word nation in the Bible has nothing to do with the political, the territory demarcated by some political boundaries.
Did you ever give this any thought from the Gettysburg Address? 47 years ago, our fathers brought upon this continent a new, what was that word? Country? A new political system? A new what?
Yeah, in our vernacular, the word nation in English, as it's used today, is entirely different than the concept biblically of nation, because we use the word nation to mean the political ideology or political territory, the area in which the United States is sovereign, or any other country would be sovereign over its people, and it's just not the way it's used in the Bible.
You said today's use, how we use the word nation. This is over 100 years ago. What was Mr. Lincoln doing when he actually used that word?
Well, as far as I can tell, it was still the same use then. I don't think the language has changed with respect to that word all the way back to the founders. When they talked about a nation, they were speaking of the American nation, meaning specifically the territory of the United States, or the states united under a particular governmental or political structure.
That's interesting, because there were state churches back then,
right?
A little further back than that.
Mm-hmm.
a nation with a church and so forth, a concept that's becoming a little foreign to us nowadays.
Well, anyway, Todd, I would recommend those books. I'd also recommend the Thomas Sowell's book, which is called The Vision of the Anointed, as well as Friedrich Bastiat's book, The Law, and probably a few others, if you can handle them, like Henry Hazlitt on Economics in One Lesson. Those are all good stuff for you to read, Todd. And you know what? If you want to go to the policyofliberty.net website, that's my website, policyofliberty.net, you'll find not only all my books and articles there, you'll find a bookstore called the Alertness Books Bookstore, where I actually have direct links to a number of those books I recommend to my students. I'd recommend you get those. Also want to recommend you get The Creature from Jekyll Island by Edwin Griffin, to talk about the Federal Reserve System. So you've got a lot to read there, and there's a lot of good material out there to help spread the truth. As far as helping the sheeple out, just tell them to listen to Christian Worldview. That should be enough to get them churning and thinking, at any rate. Tell them to listen on the Internet if they can't get it here in Spartanburg or in Greenville. Just have them simply tune in through the Internet link on tyrannyresponse.com, listen live link, or they can listen to the recorded shows under the audio link. It's all there for them, and it's updated every day pretty faithfully. I want to give a quick plug before we go to our next break, and we have a couple plugs to do here. One is the Greenville Conference for the Christian Exodus Movement, and we would like to encourage people to attend the 2005 annual conference held at the Hilton Hotel in Greenville. There will be various speakers there, including Michael Chapman, yours truly, Dr. John Cohen, Mr. Arthur Bringelson, and Corey Burnell, the president of Christian Exodus. There are going to be workshops, and there's going to be discussion about what Christian Exodus is up to and what they plan to do here in the upstate piece by piece. The phone number to register, it's $40 to register, by the way. The phone number is 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578. And give them a call and sign up so you can be part of this great experience. I know that they have not filled up to capacity the auditorium like they would like to. ChristianExodus.org is what their website is on the web. And again, you can, ChristianExodus.org is where you can find information about their organization. 877-727-3578. I also want to give a quick plug for the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. We mentioned it a minute ago. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, you can read the Times Examiner and find people who support home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. And, you know, you can pick up a subscription to this for only $25 a year in-state, $27 a year out-of-state. Give them a call at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you'd like to place an ad in the Times Examiner, call David directly at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Also mentioned to you under the Related Media tab on the tyrannyresponse.com website, or tyrannyresponse.net website. Towards the bottom, there are a couple of links you'll want to check out. One is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. You can go there, and in 30 seconds, especially you folks in Spartanburg who are this first time hearing us, go ahead and click on that link and go fill out the form, the petition form. It takes you 30 seconds to save your private property and support fundamental rights here in South Carolina. There's also a political quiz there you can take from the Christian Science Monitor. Are you a neocon? We're going to talk about being a neocon later. I just thought I'd mention that to you now. You can go there and find out if you're really a neocon by taking that quiz. Well, that's a lot of announcements, but we got a little bit behind with our good chat here, so I want to go ahead and get those in, and we have to run to a break now. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, with guest host with Greg Ferry today, and we'll be back in just a minute. The show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and
The Nature of the State. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, guest hosting today with Mr. Greg Ferrier. Go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead. All right. How about the word, we have a phone, somebody on the line?
We do. We actually have a caller, I think, on the line. My earphones are not working. You need to tell the producer that so I can hear something. Go ahead, though, if you're welcome to Christian Worldview.
Hey,
I can't hear a thing. Can you hear anything?
I can hear him off of the...
we can't hear Chuck. Okay, we need to hang on, Chuck. We need to try to get the microphone to work here. It's not functioning. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to go to a break. We're going to listen to the Bill of Rights, and we're going to try to work out our tech problems so our people on the air don't have to listen to us fool around with it here at the studio. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
To Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Sorry, folks, we're having these technical problems here this morning. Let's see if we can get Chuck on the line.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can.
Yes,
I can hear you now. Okay, Greg can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay.
I can't hear John, but I can hear I hear John because he's right next to me, and I hear you in the headset.
We need to get our experts out here to fix our mixing board problems here, because so one minute we don't have any sound in our ears, and next minute we can't hear the caller.
All right, Chuck, what's up?
Now I hear. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, hey, I wanted to let you know about something I got in the mail that I thought was interesting and worthy of praise. National Legal and Policy Center. This is a libertarian activist group. Something that they are telling me they achieve is what they do is they look to see if the government is following the law, and particularly and the other political parties. And some of these laws may be egregious. In the first case, they talked about Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi is a big advocate of campaign finance reform. but she violated it, and they fined her $21,000 for effectively double dipping, giving much high way above the limits simply because they wanted to. And this is a prime example of rules are for other people. And what I think is good about this is it reminds me very much of the story of Esther and Mordecai, when Mordecai's enemy Haman had a gallows built and ended up being hung on it himself. And this is a very biblical form of justice.
I should say, what goes around comes around, no matter who's shooting the gun.
And, you know, there are a lot of thinking people out there, Chuck, as you well know, who end up in libertarian camps and plying their own wares and trade, whether it be in law or in philosophy or economics or other fields, to forming these sort of think tanks out there. They're all over the place. I mean, in Washington, Los Angeles, Michigan, you name it, there's a big center somewhere, almost every major metro area. So it's interesting that you found this one. What was the name of it again?
Called the National Legal and Policy Center. They can be found on the internet at www.nlpc.org.
I got a similar email from some similar group. I might have gotten it mailed to me by somebody who read that, because I was reading about giving grades to certain legislation and seeing if and politicians. I don't know if it's the same thing or not.
I'm not fair at that one. Now, the National Taxpayers Union does a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. The TRIM committees.
They rate each legislator, and, for example, to say if all the bills that you support were enacted, would be increasing spending or decreasing spending? And in almost every case, of course, it's increasing. But by varying degrees, and just knowing that is an interesting measure.
Yeah. Do you folks know about the TRIM committees as well?
Not familiar with that one.
Not heard of that one? TRIM, Tax Reform Immediately. It's kind of like an odd ad hoc committee that the John Birch Society had in mind.
Not to mention it. Yeah, I think I heard of that years and years ago.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, this is interesting stuff. You know, Chuck, since we've got you on the line, we were going to have an interesting conversation about 1 Samuel chapter 25 again today, and I was going to go ahead and repeat some of your ideas. Since we've got you on now, maybe we can jump to that a minute, if you don't mind. Greg had an interesting comment, an interesting perspective on this the other day, but so did you, and we were talking about this. I think for our listeners, it might be interesting to go over again. The whole issue in first, and I'll just give the review. I'll give a review of what the issue was. Then you go ahead and give your thoughts on it, Chuck, and then let Greg go ahead and jump in and give his. At any rate, in this particular passage, 1 Samuel 25, David was guarding the sheep and cattle and livestock and so forth of a very rich man near Mount Carmel, and his name was Nabal, and he was married to a woman named Abigail. Now, after Nabal died, Abigail became David's wife. And what had happened is they were doing real well, making a lot of productivity and wealth, and David was sort of being the guardian of this guy's flock. And his army got hungry, basically. They wanted to get some food, and so they asked the guy, "Look, you're rich, basically. Would you give us something to eat?" And he said, "No," basically, in short order. "I'm not going to do that. Why should I give David anything?" And David was enraged and just about went down and killed the guy, but his wife, Abigail, interceded, brought food to him, and met him halfway and said, "Please spare my husband's life," and David did so. And so anyway, that's kind of the story there. I think I've recounted pretty well without reading the whole passage. And we were talking about, well, what does this have to do with, you know, public policy and governance, and should we perceive this? And go ahead, Chuck, give us your thinking on it.
Okay. My thinking is that this sounds very much as though David had set up at least a small portion of a kingdom while he was in exile. And I think there's some support for that in previous chapters, where he had come to the rescue of a besieged city that Saul was not supporting. They had sent messengers to him saying, "We're not getting help from the king. Can you help us?" And he sent his own warriors out and rescued the city. So there's some pressure. precedent that David was offering protection to the area where his men were. He had quite a number of fighting men with him. So my thinking is that him acting in the position of a king, in fact, what he was doing in a gentle way up to the point of the violence breaking out was asking for taxes. And he wasn't specific. He just said, you know, would you help us?
Right.
And he received an insult in return. Now, where I say that there was a case that he was sinning is he didn't really have a right to become so angry over the insult. I think he took it personally.
So you think he sinned, but he still had a right. He was taxing these people because he was the anointed king, basically, and he'd been acting this way with the city earlier on. When he went down and Saul wouldn't defend a city, he would defend it for those people. So he was already acting kingly, and now he was just taking a tax. Okay.
That's right. I think, in effect, what he was doing was collecting taxes in a very gentle way.
Collecting them in a gentle way?
In other words, when he came up, it was a voluntary tax. They asked the man, you know, could you provide us with something? They're not farming, et cetera. They're out there providing protection. They're out there being warriors, is what his fighting men were trained and skilled at doing, which is a valuable service. But he didn't come up and say, you owe us X number of shekels of gold or anything like that. He just said, what can you help? How can you help?
All right, now,
in return, he got an insult.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. Would he be justified in slaying Nabal?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Would he be justified in slaying Nabal?
No, I don't think he would have been justified.
Okay. Then is there any kind of a punishment that David could have exacted upon Nabal?
I think he might more realistically have withdrawn his protection. And again, we don't know all the circumstances. It may be that he would have been justified in simply taking some property in return for his services, because a laborer is worthy of his hire.
Yeah, well, there's the situation. Saul was still the king back then. David might have been anointed. Now, was this anointing his official becoming the king? Because, you know, there was a long time after that where the northern tribes didn't accept David right away as their king. And there had to be some fighting and political gerrymandering and everything else like that.
That's right. It's not a clean situation.
No, it was not a clean situation. Can you, I'm told that we have to take a break right now. Can you hang on through the break, or can we just discuss this, however it works?
Okay, and you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Cohen. We are going to take a break. This is interesting stuff, folks, because it's not crystal clear what's going on in this passage. You can see you can have both interpretations, and they could make some sense, but it's good for us to bat around and think about, and that's what we're all about. We're here to make you think better at Christian Worldview, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Guest host this morning with Mr. Greg Ferrier. We're here really enjoying ourselves this morning as usual. We have some technological problems, but other than that, things are swell. The weather today is 66 degrees in Greenville, Spartanburg, 69 degrees in downtown Greenville, 66 degrees in Anderson, 70 degrees in Clemson today. Mostly sunny this morning, then becoming partly cloudy, areas of fog this morning, highs in the lower 90s, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Hurricane Rita has turned out of the path of Galveston, now is heading for St. Charles, Louisiana, and Beaumont, Texas, right on the border there, and then heading up straight towards Longview as it makes its way inland. Category 4 storm, very dangerous, of course. It looks like it's going to spare Houston and Galveston. A couple of technical problems here, folks. It looks like the main phone line is out, so I'm not sure why we have people, have folks working on it today. The 244-8177 number is not working, so go ahead and try us on 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, and we'll try to get you on the air that way. Also, a reminder that for right now, starting right now, people are hearing us in Spartanburg and within, say, 20 miles of there, almost down to Union, and maybe up towards Landrum, Gaffney, and down into Greer. So if you're in Greer, you have a choice between 97.7, as the rest of Greenville does, or 87.9. There's also 96.5 down towards towards Pelzer and Piedmont. Okay, one quick announcement before we go on, and that's this. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. In Spartanburg, they're meeting at the library, I believe, in Spartanburg, and that would have been the fourth Wednesday of the month. We'll get a better announcement on that later on. To talk politics, just join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville. At the Beacon up in Spartanburg, they will also be meeting for Libertarian Underground, and we'll give you further details on that in the exact date later on. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And now back to you, Greg, for the great discussion about 1 Samuel 25. And we also have Chuck on the line here. You're still with us, aren't you, Chuck?
I am still here.
Okay, very good.
All right, Chuck, could you give me a little quick synopsis of your point on this whole matter? Are you saying that David was due this tax as the king, or just because he was doing a favor, if you will, to Nabal and company?
I'll tell you, I think there's an analogy to the current situation in somewhere like Colombia or Venezuela, where you have some of the drug lords who are not officially a government, but they are on outs with the ruling authority, and they actually control quite a bit of the territory. Within that territory, they're the law, they're the government. And I'm sure they do a similar thing today. They collect taxes from people. It may not be real official. They may not have a 1040 form. They probably tend to go around and say, you know, you need to give us some food, or you need to give us a part of whatever you're doing. They probably have a lot of in-kind contributions. And meanwhile, they dispense rough justice and keep people safe and do provide a rough form of government. I have a feeling it's like that, because you're right, he's not officially, even though he's anointed, he's not officially a king.
Well, my whole take on this is that David was acting like, and I don't want to make the analogy between equate David with, say, the Viet Cong or perhaps guerrillas, but you know, David was living off the land. He was not the he was anointed the king, but Saul was the king at the time. And I think this is more or less just a personal matter here. I do you a favor, you don't pay me, we get mad at one another. I think this is what happened with David, because it's interesting in verse 33 of chapter 25, it says, when he's talking about what Abigail had actually done, he said, "Blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand."
Right. I think it did get personal, but I don't think it started out personal. I think it started out more like controlling territory and needing to be supported by the people in the territory.
Well, Nabal did have his own land, and really the only tax that I understand was the tax for the maintaining of, as far as what was allowed by the law, was the maintaining of the government and for worship.
Well, there's another side to this, and I'm going to jump into this real quick, and that's the proprietariness of the tax, or the action by David. In other words, the Old Testament law was pretty clear about what would happen to a person who wouldn't, who would disobey, or who would steal, and things like that. And the death penalty was what David was going to inflict on this person. So I think both sides can agree that David was sinning, perhaps, by, well, maybe you don't, Chuck, but I'd like to hear from you on this. I think he was sinning in the way he took it, in his action. He was overreacting and about to do something that was wrong. Being angry was a sin, and then going after and wanting to kill the guy, whether or not he thought he was owed the tax or just owed it as compensation for the territory who was guarding, kind of like the mafia would. Is that what you're thinking also, Chuck?
Yes, that sounds about right.
Okay. So what do you think, Greg? You would agree he was in sin either way, right?
Either way.
Okay. So that part's clear. What we're really discussing here was whether or not David had a right to get the tax money from him, or whether he was just acting like a mafia thug and carrying on his venture.
Yeah, I don't want to equate David with the mafia or something like that. It was just his anger and his rash behavior was the sin.
Interesting discussion. Well, I'll tell you what, I can see both ways on this particular thing, and I'll think about it some more personally, but I tend to think that, that Greg's perspective on this is probably right, but every time I hear what Chuck's saying, I appreciate that very much, and it may well be that Chuck's right on this particular point. Perhaps some other callers will have some input to make on this. Chuck, any other final comment on it before we hang up and go?
No, I appreciate the discussion. It's illuminating, and whichever way, I can't be certain about it. But I think it's interesting to discuss it and think about how, what it might mean.
And, well, it is interesting, and not only interesting, it's important for us as Christians to discuss from a Christian worldview perspective what the scriptural principles are elsewhere in helping us to understand and interpret this particular passage. And that's really where we're where the rubber meets the road, because the Bible is its own best interpreter, and we need to be careful as Christians to not just pull things out of context, much like some preachers do, some divine writers, with Romans 13 and naively interpret the passage without understanding the whole counsel of God, and it gets them into all sorts of trouble. And we don't want to do that here with any this passage or any other, and we're glad you're helping, you're thinking deeper, Chuck, and helping us even here at the show, challenging us to think a little deeper in a passage we hadn't considered much before.
May I add something here? We're not far out of the time of the judges either, and the kingship was not firmly established. So we have this sort of chaotic situation like we did with the stories of Ehud and Samson and Deborah and all these others. There was there may have been something that was official, or David might have been anointed, but Saul was still functioning as the king. So it's somewhat chaotic here. I challenge the rest of you. Let's think. Is there a principle here that we can deal with, that we can apply to perhaps taxation of today, or even our own interpersonal relationships?
Well, of course, it had to do with the theocracy, which means that it has may have nothing to do with taxation today, but it may have some principle there, as Greg says, we can glean from. It's always worth thinking about. Chuck, any last comment?
No, I think you've wrapped it up very nicely. Thank you. Okay. I will say one other thing that's a little bit unrelated, and that's encourage people, as you have, to read the Times Examiner. I find little gems in there just about every week.
Right.
In particular, like last week, there was an article by Joe Sobern about Michael Oakshute, and just really good stuff.
It really is.
So worthwhile.
It really is. There's lots of good stuff in there. All right, Chuck, well, we appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in, and look forward to talking with you soon.
Okay, same here. Bye-bye.
Okay, and you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. Remember, the number at the break is going to give you the 244-8177 number. That phone line is not working. We're getting a signal from our internet, our phone line provider, that it's out of service. For some reason, it's a network difficulty. So hopefully that will be resolved by Monday's show. Call us on the backup line if you want to talk to us at 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn, guest host with Greg Ferrier today, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coburn. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coburn's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems.
PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. In the studio with me once again is Mr. Greg Ferrier. Remember, Spartanburg 87.9, the entire area all the way down to Greer and towards Union and Gaffney, as well as 97.7 in Greenville. Glad you're with us. Glad you joined us. And talking about some very interesting stuff today. Greg, did you have another topic we wanted to discuss as well?
Well, there's something we may have to take over in the next time I come on here, but let's just start it. It's something that's been interesting to me. The word neo. Okay, it's just a fancy word to make you sound like you're real educated. Neo just meaning new. You hear the word neo-orthodox, neo-Calvinist, neo-con, whatever is new nowadays. Mm-hmm. Recently I was reading a book where they use the term neo-Calvinist. Talking in terms of Herman Dewey word and the old prime minister of Holland, Abraham Kuyper. Yeah. Why did I have trouble with that? People that they call them neo-Calvinists, and then other people, Cornelius Van Til, the neo-Calvinist. Well, who were the old paleo-Calvinists? I'm wondering when we talk about something that's new, it seems to me there's been something added to the mix. When you talk about a neo-conservative, apple pie, motherhood, and the flag, those things that we all might particularly like. Now, a lot of our Confederate friends disparage the federal flag that flies over so many things. But
yeah, they're probably more like key lime, transgender, and the television set. They're about that far over. I mean, the neocon movement with Irving Kristol at the head and people like there are many other neocons out there, but rather than just go through a list of names, but a neocon is basically a liberal in conservative clothing. If you want the easiest way to remember what a neocon is, neocons come in various stripes and varieties. Essentially, they like the conservative rhetoric and talk of someone like Ronald Reagan, but they like also the imperialistic or empire-building foreign policies of Teddy Roosevelt. There are people who believe that the state has a role not only in securing its own borders, but expanding its territory, its influence around the world. There are also people who admire much of what even people like Franklin Roosevelt or Abraham Lincoln did in their disintegration of a federalist state and putting us into our government into a welfare state mode. They're not against the welfare state entirely, and they're not even against things like gun control entirely. Like William Buckley would be another example of a neocon. They would go even further than that on other issues and would want to use the state to help business or help science to promote things. So they're not true conservatives in the sense of Calhoun or Edmund Burke. They're not those who want the government to be severely limited and for people to be left alone otherwise. They actually like an interventionist state. They like to talk with the rhetoric of being a conservative, like they like Ronald Reagan, but they also liked all these other people. So they really are, in my mind, liberals in conservative clothing. And you can find out if you're a neocon by going to that little quiz on the Christian Science Monitor, and the link is under the Related Media tab on tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. Just click on Related Media, scroll down to where it says quizzes, and you'll see there the Are You a Neocon quiz.
Did I ever tell you this little story about what I heard your friend Walter Williams say that one time when he was substituting for Rush? He said this was back in the campaign between Dole and Clinton, and he said that Bill Clinton wants to take your money and give it to the poor. Bob Dole wants to take your money and give it to the rich. here we have Bill Clinton, the out-and-out modernist liberal, communist, whatever you might want to call him, and then Bob Dole, who in so many ways raised the flag and talked about motherhood and apple pie and so forth, all those nice buzzwords that puts everybody to sleep, makes them feel good, but yet on the other hand he was taking your money and propagating what we call corporate welfare.
Well, and Walter's right about this. I mean, the two parties, the neocon and the liberal party, are not that different. There are a few bits and differences. There's nostalgia on the side of the conservatives. They like some of the conservative rhetoric and some of the things that make sense, a few points here and there. But in general, they're wishy-washy on guns. They're wishy-washy on abortion. You know, those big social issues they kind of stay away from, and they really both want to have a big state with big government, and especially imperialistic government, more than the liberals. Liberals don't necessarily want to conquer the world like the neocons do. They're sort of this hybrid monster that came out of a mixture of conservatism and liberalism, but is certainly more liberal under the skin, as I've said, than the conservative they claim to be.
Do you remember that article you read a couple of days ago by Bill Buckley? Not Bill Buckley, Bill O'Reilly, regarding how this president has given more money, or signed away more money toward the welfare state and so forth than any other. Mm-hmm. The liberals were complaining about the conservative George Bush, and O'Reilly gave him a good dope slap and said, "Wait a minute now, he's given more money to your causes than Bill Clinton ever did."
And this is certainly true. George Bush is the epitome of a neocon. And if you can even read other neocons in the paper. Again, you know, you got Bill Buckley, you got Irving Kristol locally here, even though he doesn't admit it. You have Tony Beam writing in the Times Examiner. And there are other folks elsewhere who you'll pick up typically in columns that they'll be considered to be, or maybe George will even be considered to be conservative, but they're really neocons. They are in favor of these kinds of spending programs that you're talking about, and the the imperialistic ventures of President Bush.
Having been involved in Republican politics for a number of years,
and you escaped,
and I escaped. Well, I imagine until the next convention comes around, I'm probably still a member, because I did pay my dues to run for office last year. But I have found over the years that the grassroots Republicans, the ones out here in my county, Oconee County, Pickens County, and Abbeville County, Anderson County, which was Lindsey Graham's district at the time, the people would come out of the backwoods, the backwaters, if you will, the people that we all rub shoulders with, and they were really conservative people. And, I would even venture to say constitutionalists, they do real well in the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party, and they're Christian people. And the further, and now that's all down in the local areas. You get up into the district, and it still sounds pretty good. The rhetoric is good. I'd given some little suggestions from the floor that were rather conservative, and I got a rousing round of applause. And everybody up on the platform said, "Yeah, this is wonderful. We'll do that." And then I found out, it was rather distressing to me and really puzzling to me, when we got down to Columbia, where the movers and shakers are, I suppose, and this was when Bob Dole was running, I'm thinking in particular, all that, the rhetoric was all there, but the policies were changed. They were just like doing things as they always were.
Well, it's a great trick, isn't it, when you can get all these evangelicals and others to believe what you're saying through the lip service, and then do exactly the opposite, but still get all their support nonetheless. Exactly what George W. Bush is doing. He's done nothing to help Christian causes, as far as we can do. Nothing significant, at any rate. And as a matter of fact, he's eroded liberty. It's great to have people like George Bush in office to point out his foibles, so that we can increase a defection from the Republican Party of Christians, especially in a show like Christian Worldview, to the Libertarian Party. Yes, you can be a pro-life libertarian like Dr. Coben is. You can also be move to the Constitution Party, and at the Tyranny Response Network we have members of both parties, primarily, and that's why we're so different. We think differently than the neocon blather and talking heads and whatnot that you hear on TV or even on the radio waves. So those kind of people are continually deceiving Christians. They're talking good talk, but when they actually you've got to put something into action, they do liberal neocon kinds of things.
John, did you ever hear the senator, former Senator Bob Smith from New Hampshire, when he resigned the Republican Party to run for president? Part of his speech, and it was rather shocking. I wish I could get a copy of it. When he was resigning the Republican Party, and he made this speech before the Senate, he said, "I brought legislation that was right out of the platform of the Republican Party, anti-abortion." He's evidently a Roman Catholic, and he is a Roman Catholic who does not support abortion. He is one who is orthodox in that regard, and he said, "I brought words to this effect, that I introduced legislation that is right out of the platform of the Republican Party, and do you know how much support I got? You're looking at him." That was shocking to me, that he didn't have any of his Republican colleagues to rally around the flag, so to speak.
Yeah, well, they're just manipulators, demagogues. They're a bunch of charlatans who want to get elected. Why not? I mean, once you go in for one term, you get your pension for the rest of your life for $15,000 a month. You make you do real well on Capitol Hill with lots of power and buddies, and you can say what you want and do whatever it takes to get elected. And after you're in there, you know, you can do the exact opposite. It doesn't matter. And you get these lackey Christians simply going after him and just supporting Republicans as if they're godsends. It's just bizarre. They can't somehow break away from the mold of thinking that these Republicans are the bad guys, not the good guys. And they keep coming up with, "Oh, I don't want to waste my vote and vote for the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party." Well, look, folks, anytime you're voting for something that's evil on a pragmatic basis, you're doing something that's wrong. Don't worry about wasting your vote. A vote cast for something, for principle, is never wasted. A vote cast for principle is doing the right thing, and so stop using it as an excuse for doing the wrong thing and sinning. We always come up with all sorts of ideas for why we want to fall short, and we justify our behavior, and that's precisely what Christians have been led to do. We got one last quick comment from you, Greg, and then we've got to end the show, it looks like.
Okay, well, I was just, one thing that I heard Bob Smith say one time was on the, said this to Sean Hannity.
Said, was he from Oregon, Bob Smith? So he said.
No, he's from Vermont.
Oh, Vermont.
New Hampshire.
Okay.
Former senator from New Hampshire, and when he ran again, he rejoined the Republican Party. He didn't even get through the primary. So here's a man who was 16, 8, what, however many years he was in the Senate, and plus Congress, and he couldn't even, when he rejoined the party for the Senate, he couldn't even get out of the primaries. I mean, the system shot him down and he moved to Florida. But I heard him tell Hannity one time what the party does. He says they get you there and you lick stamps and knock on doors. He says, and then when all the elections and everything is over, they herd you into a little fence there and say thank you and wait till next time. They don't want the grassroots, the conservative people that and largely don't understand what government's all about. They're too trusting of the big party, and these new parties that are, when I say new, relatively new parties, the Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, and others that come up, they have reexamined themselves, as we were talking about. You know, where we was and there they was. Where are we now? Conservative, what's left to conserve?
Right. Well, we appreciate that comment. It's a good way to end the show today. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you'll join us again on Monday morning for another edition as we expand even further into Liberty and Six Mile and Clemson, maybe even Seneca. Be tuning in on 87.9 over there, as well as 96.5, either one of those frequencies. If you have friends in Spartanburg, let them know over the weekend to tune into 87.9 on the air up there. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you again soon. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us at 7:30 Monday morning right here on TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, for another installment of Christian Worldview.